Hashtag murder may contain explicit and disturbing material and may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, and welcome to Hashtag Murder. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. I'm Scar.
And I'm Alex.
And we're millennials who love murder.
And not squishmallows.
You said that one last week.
Oh, I did.
You can't use that one again.
Oh, hold on. What do we not love? Oh, no. What do I love? Miller Lite.
You do?
Yeah, I'm a Miller Lite girly. PBR. So yeah. In order, okay. It goes PBR. Mm-hmm. That's my first choice.
Of course.
Then Miller Lite.
Gross.
Then Coors Lite.
I can't do it anymore.
Ooh, or Miller High Life. I can do High Life, too. That was Abuela's. Me and Terrell, we love some Miller High Life.
That's true. Those are Dustin's cooking beers.
So it's the champagne of beer.
No, I can't do that kind of beer anymore. There were too many nights gone awry, nights gone wrong, that ended up on the bathroom floor, and it's just
puking
not for
up
me.
Miller.
It's not for me anymore.
She's a white claw with a shot of vodka, girly.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Whipped.
Keep it classy.
Whipped vodka.
Whipped. Oh my God. You know, I was thinking on the drive here, I was like, I don't really have anything to say because it's only been a few days
since we
recorded. Nothing's really happened.
No.
So I was going to regale the tale of whenever Harley and I went to Sneed's Ferry. And we did too much shopping.
You hauled it.
We went up there. Okay. This has been an intro before, but I don't think the episode ever made it out. I think it was one we had to re-record.
Yeah, because we've been out for... I think we had either re-recorded it or it was one that never made it.
Yeah. So me and her and Gaylean and Mav went up to the ferry with Clinton's truck.
Mm-hmm.
And she lured me up there because there was, like, wedding stuff, events.
And being the good maid of honor you are,
you
had to go.
I agreed to go.
Mm-hmm.
And we went up there. We did, like, one wedding activity. The rest of the time was just shopping.
Didn't she win that mimosa cart thing, though, from
she
there?
She did.
Yeah.
And she also won something else, but we had to be there to win it, and now we'll never know what it was. She won two things.
It probably could have been like a honeymoon.
It probably was. It was probably
Dummy.
Like a five night
stay in a Mexican resort, all inclusive.
I know, but we did not have to be there for the mimosa bar, which she also won. So that was very good. But no, we went up there and we went furniture shopping and we bought too much furniture and we had to rent a U-Haul to get it back.
Duck is on your pajamas
here. I know.
I'm gonna show Kendra.
It's the ducky. Okay.
Sorry.
Quick dog side note. I have my dog pants and my cat lady sweatshirt on. I'm all animaled out. But yeah, we rented a U-Haul. And then, so whenever I was in the Army, I was the driver trainer.
Mm-hmm. That's terrifying.
Which involves trailers.
That's terrifying.
That is terrifying. Mm-hmm. I should never be in charge of
anything
really. Especially not teaching people how to drive Humvees and LMTVs.
How many cars have you totaled?
That was not my fault. Mm. Nope, two of them have been my fault.
Okay.
The last one, he hit me. That was entirely not my fault.
And then the other time, you were in somebody's truck that got totaled.
Yeah. Two car wrecks in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Not great.
Mm-mm.
In the first year that I moved here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was bad, bad streak. But anyways, we had to rent a U-Haul, and it was a trailer U-Haul.
Mm-hmm.
She was all nervous about driving it, and I was like, you got it. You're fine.
It's fine.
And then we had to back it out of this. We had to back it out of the last place we stopped, and she was, like, freaking out about it, and I was like, I could just do it. And she was like, what? I was like, yeah, I did this. I know how to back
For
up
work.
A trailer.
Yeah.
And she was so mad at me.
Because you made her do it the whole time.
Yeah.
You could have just done it.
Oh my God, it was a good time. Love you, Har. Sorry.
That champagne from the mimosa bar, though, was good.
It was very good.
And it was like an all-black women-owned company, I think, that made the champagne. And the one, I think it was. I remember Gaylean spreading all the bottles around at the reception because they didn't all get drank at mimosa time.
Oh, we were drinking
time.
The whole bottle on and, the dance floor.
Yeah.
Whole bottles.
Everybody had a bottle.
Oh my God, it was a great time. But anyways, I guess we've gone on too long.
On to the story.
On to the story. And this is kind of a twofer. I think the last one I did was kind of a threefer.
Yeah, you did a threefer. I just did some crazy guy. Yeah. Who parachuted to his death.
That was crazy. Oh my god. But this one is horrific. And I hope you're ready for it.
It can't be worse than the toy box one, right? We'll see.
Okay. All right, let's do it.
You didn't send me the notes on this, so I didn't read it, so we're just vibing.
Oh, I didn't?
No.
Oh.
Don't send them. I'm just gonna vibe.
Well, fuck. Okay.
I'm gonna vibe.
All right, here we go. So, we are in September of 1978, and 15-year-old Mary Vincent has run away from her home in Nevada and hitchhiked her way to Modesto, California.
Sorry, is her name Mary or Scarlett Hibden?
It's a very me move. Yes. Like, I'm out of here. I'm 15 years old. I have no idea where I'm going, but I'm going somewhere, yep. And it's not going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So Mary was born in Las Vegas on May 17th, 1963.
A Taurus.
I know. She's 1 year and 4 days younger than my mother.
Her birthday is 2 days before mine.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why I love you so much.
Yep. Scar loves a Taurus.
I do.
She's not supposed to, but she does.
I know. There should be clashing. But anyways, so Mary is one of seven children.
Oh my.
Too many kids.
That's a lot of kids.
Too many kids. So Mary's father is a mechanic in the military, and her mother was a blackjack dealer.
Oh, hell yeah.
Isn't that great?
That's so cool.
I love it. And her father had met her mother whenever he was stationed there in the military. Things went well enough to have seven children, but when Mary was around 15, they decided to get a divorce, and it was not a friendly divorce.
Mm.
Yeah. It was messy and chaotic, and this is what caused Mary to flee from her home.
Okay. Is she the oldest? Or is she middle? I feel like she's middle child vibes.
I believe she's middle.
Okay.
I could be wrong about that. Don't quote me, but mm-hmm. I'm going to say middle.
Mm. Running away from home gives me big middle child vibes.
Yeah, I can see Dustin doing that. You all don't love me anyway. I'm out of here. Okay, so it was messy. It wasn't great. So this is what made Mary leave. And she had made her way on the streets and sleeping in unlocked cars and eventually went to go stay with her grandfather in Berkeley County in Northern California. But that did not last long either.
Okay.
So she's living the street life.
She's scraping by.
Yeah. So on September 29th, 1978, Mary gets very homesick and she wants to be back with her family. And she decides to hitchhike the 8 hour and 18 minute drive back to Nevada. So she's standing on the side of the road holding up a sign with a few other girls who were also hitchhiking.
That was the time.
They're kind of in a little group holding up posters like, can you take me to Las
XYZ.
Vegas?
Yeah.
So this is whenever a man in a big blue van stops and offers a ride, but he only offers a ride to one of the young women. Just one.
Like, did he say only one of you can come with me, or
yes.
Did he like pick one out?
No.
Okay.
He said only one can go with me, and I'm going now.
Red flag.
Yeah. And he's in this huge empty van. He could have taken all of them, but he insists that no, just one of them. And the other girls that Mary was with tried to stop her.
Yeah, because they were like, that's a bad idea.
Yeah.
We have bad juju vibes.
Yeah, but
don't
Mary...
Don't do that.
Exactly. But Mary was ready to be home. She's 15.
Yeah.
She can't take it on the streets anymore. So she decided to take up this man's offer for a ride.
Okay.
And, you know, she's young. She's not thinking rationally. She's a child. And, desperately wanted to get back to her family. And this is a time whenever hitchhiking is a very big thing.
Yeah, that's the vibe.
Yeah. So this is not out of the ordinary.
No, definitely not.
So this man picks up Mary. Mary doesn't question it at all. She gets in the van. And Mary described this man as a grandfatherly type of guy, like an older man just trying to help out someone in need.
Yeah, some like guy you would see like in the like lumber department at Lowe's.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You got it.
Yep.
Exactly. And Mary was tired. She'd been living on the streets, just trying to make it by. So once she's in this van, she starts to kind of nod off.
Okay, yeah. She just feels, like, safe. She's like, okay, I'm in a car that's...
And I'm heading home.
That's not stolen or unlocked. I can fall asleep in here. I'm headed my way home. I'm gonna be fine.
Yeah. And keep in mind, 15, she can't even drive.
No.
She can't drive.
She couldn't drive if she wanted to.
So, like, oh my God, this is so, oh, it's so bad. Okay. So she starts nodding off, and whenever she wakes up, she notices the street signs and highway markers are not the ones that she should be seeing, and that they weren't headed south to Nevada, that he was driving in the opposite direction.
I don't feel good about this.
You shouldn't. So Mary calls this man out and is like, hey, you're going the wrong way. And you know you're going the wrong way. So this prompts the man to pull over, and now they are in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, fuck.
This is not looking good.
Oh, shit, oh, fuck. As Kayla would say.
Yeah. And Mary also knows that this is not looking good. She starts thinking she's going to have to make a run for it, but she looks down while she's still in the van, and she notices that her shoe is untied. And if she's going to have to make a run for it, she better tie her goddamn shoe.
Or you're going to run out of those shoes.
Yeah, well, yeah. So Mary opens the passenger side door, goes to tie her shoe, and this is when Mary gets hit in the head with a sledgehammer.
What?
Causing Mary to black out. And when she comes to, she's tied up in the back of this man's van. And this is whenever the man starts to violently sexually assault Mary.
I don't think that's what she expected when she,
No.
Got in that man's car.
Can you even
Yeah, you just, like, open imagine. The door. You're just thinking about tying your shoe just in case you have to run for it. And then, bam, you don't even have time to think about it.
Yeah. And this would be a scary situation for, like, anyone, but yeah. She's 15.
Yeah, she's a child, and she's never been out on her own besides when she ran away.
Yeah.
Plus she has 6 siblings, mm-hmm. So she's probably used to having somebody, like, watch her back or, like, yeah, you know,
exactly,
tell her she's being an idiot. She doesn't have that right now,
and now she's all
she's alone in the world
with this monster of a human being.
Creepy ass Santa.
Yeah. Oh, God. So Mary was asking the man why he was doing this, and he did not respond, which adds to the terrifying factor. Like, you can't even answer me.
You can't even say, like, I'm gonna kill you, I'm not gonna kill you, shut up and just listen to me. Nothing?
Nothing. Didn't say a word.
That's almost worse than saying something.
I know. So this man goes on to rape Mary 6 more times and then falls asleep in the back of the van. And unfortunately, while this man is sleeping, Mary can't get away because she is completely tied up. There is no escaping this. And this is whenever she started begging for death, which is so heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And she just kept asking him to set her free, and there was just no stopping this brutal attack. So night falls and Mary is still tied up, and then morning comes and the horrifying attacks start all over again. This man continues sexually assaulting Mary and eventually pulls Mary out of the back of the van, and she's naked and bloody. And then he says, you want to be set free? I'll set you free. And this is whenever he pulls out a hatchet and started chopping at Mary's left arm.
He's amputating her?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
So he took one swing and Mary went to grab at him, but she kept falling. Like, she's reaching for him.
And just, like, slipping.
And she's, like, falling over. And she didn't understand this, like, why she was falling, because she felt like she was grabbing him. And then she realized that he had cut her arm off.
So it's not enough to abduct, assault her and rape her. You now have to, like,
mutilate.
You're chopping off her limbs.
Yeah.
Would you like me to do that to you, sir?
Oh, God. Yeah. So yeah, he had cut off her arm, and there is blood squirting out from her arm in all directions.
It's like a horror movie.
It literally is. So Mary's left arm has been cut off just below the elbow, and Mary can feel everything. She is in excruciating pain and can feel, like, the hotness of the blood, like,
but yeah,
leaving,
like,
her body.
Yeah, it's, like, probably, like, oozing too.
Yeah. And I'm sure she had a lot of adrenaline going at this time.
Yeah, I'm sure she did. And she's like, I need to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And that pain's gonna be real bad when that adrenaline runs out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's bad now, but, like, whenever...
She finally realizes what is happening.
Oh, it gives me chills. I hate it. I hate it so much. So, Mary starts kicking and screaming. She's hoping to get someone's attention. Anyone. But, like, they're in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yeah, they're in bumfuck.
Yeah.
He could just drive away, and she would probably just succumb to her injuries and die.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that is not what happens. So... So she's kicking and screaming, and then the man grabs her right arm and starts chopping at that arm as well, and he also cuts off her right arm.
So she has no arms anymore.
She got no arms.
She got legs?
Got legs.
Just no arms.
No arms.
Okay.
I can't. So Mary looks up after this happens and sees her attacker kind of like... flicking his arm as if he has something on it that he's trying to get off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's whenever...
Is it her flesh? Is her arm stuck to his arm?
That's whenever she realizes that her hand and part of her arm is still clinging on to his arm. What the actual fuck is happening? He was trying to get her arm off of him.
Well, that's what you get, fucker. If you chop off somebody's arm, you should have to deal with the consequences.
Yeah.
Tied to Go is not going to get rid of that stain.
No, it sure isn't. This is so upsetting. I'm so sorry. So at this point, the man starts dragging Mary away, and she thinks it's because he thinks that she is dead, because she did not move at all. Purposefully. I mean,
yeah, she probably wants him to think she's dead so that way she can just haul ass and get out of there.
Yeah. So to top all of this off, the man throws 15-year-old Mary off of a 30-foot cliff.
Well, she's got to be dead now. Oh, 30 feet, no arms,
bleeding profusely 30 feet down into the wilderness, and this fall broke 4 of Mary's ribs.
That's it. Not to mention all the animals that are probably around and smell her.
Yeah.
And are probably just waiting for it to get dark.
Yeah. So Mary is basically in shock from the blood loss, but I guess she had youth on her side because she lives.
I hope that...
she lived!
I hope he gets... what's the most painful cancer? Prostate cancer. I hope he gets prostate cancer, and that while he's in jail, he gets tied down and his limbs chopped off by other inmates.
Well, he did have cancer, but there's more to this story.
He didn't get his limbs chopped off.
Well, he didn't go to jail.
What? He chopped off somebody's arms. He didn't go to jail?
No.
This is bullshit.
We'll get there. So Mary is laying at the bottom of this cliff, bleeding to death, and she has no idea where the guy is. Like, he's still up there. Did he leave? What's he gonna do?
Mm-hmm.
What's the end game here? So Mary is still at the bottom of this cliff. She's exhausted. She's cold. She's missing both of her arms. And this is just not a good situation. And all she wanted to do was go to sleep, but she kept hearing this, like, nagging voice telling her to not go to sleep. Her body was, like, telling her what to do at this point.
Yeah, it's in, like, survival mode.
Yeah. And this little voice in her head also kept saying, he's going to do this to someone else, and you can't let that happen.
Yeah.
Which, like, wow, that is such a selfless thought.
Yeah,
as someone like, who is being attacked, and...
Because normal people would be like, I have to get out of here, or I'm gonna die.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just thinking, this fucker's gonna do it again, and I'm gonna have to nail his ass.
Yeah.
Oh, Mary's great. So,
listen yeah, that's not what I would be thinking. I'd be like, who's gonna fucking feed my cats now?
Yeah, exactly. So, this badass, she starts packing dirt into her arm... stumps.
Oh, to like
to stop the bleeding. And
smart.
She climbs her way back up the 30-foot cliff
with no arms.
Yes, she is like superhuman.
She is. She's a badass.
So crazy. She crawled armless up a 30-foot cliff. Like, I cannot reiterate the
if
badassery.
She doesn't survive it. This, yeah.
Okay. And she's 15.
She's a baby.
I'm going to say it one more time. God damn.
She's a babe. She cannot drive legally.
Yeah. Oh my God.
She can steal your car, but she cannot drive.
Yeah. So by the time Mary makes it back to the road, it's dark outside again. It's pitch black, and Mary can't see anything other than the moon and the light from the stars. But she could hear the faint sound of traffic off in the distance. And this traffic is from the I-5, which is like super busy interstate.
Yeah.
So she starts walking towards the sound of the cars, and by the time she'd reached this populated area, it was morning time. So the sun is up, and Mary sees a red convertible sports car with two men in the car, and she tries to flag them down.
Hold on, so did she get her arms chopped off at, like, the elbow, or was it the shoulder?
Just below the elbow.
Okay, so she's got, like...
A little bit.
A little bit, like, okay. So she got, like, upper arm, but no, like, lower arm.
Correct.
No hands.
Correct.
Got it.
If you were driving down the road, and you saw someone running towards your car who had no hands or forearms, would you stop?
Probably. If it was a child... So, let me rephrase that.
Okay.
I would stop. I would also call the police at the same time. Be like, hey... There might be a psychopath running at my car.
Yeah.
With missing limbs.
Yeah.
But also, if it was a man, I probably would not stop. If it was a girl, like she's younger, I probably would stop.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, because women are less likely to attack and kill you than men.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
And can't do much attacking if
I also
don't
have a baseball bat in my car usually, so I could just beat the shit out of her if I really needed to, like if she started to attack me.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But like, just the scene of driving down the road.
I'd also probably piss myself.
You're in your convertible, you got the top down, you're feeling good.
Yeah.
You probably are listening to Queen on the radio.
Yeah, just vibing.
And then
I'm on my vacation.
Somebody
not
just
think about,
runs out of the woods with
no
arms.
Limbs.
That must be wild.
I imagine them.
And it is wild because the first car did not stop. The people in the convertible, they did not stop.
Bitches.
Yeah. But Mary, later on, she's like, I don't blame them for stopping or not stopping because
she probably looked like
I wouldn't
a psycho.
Stop either.
Probably like a psycho hot mess.
Yeah. But it's also super devastating. Like, she made it this far and now no one's going to help her.
Nah.
Oh, my God. Oh, and by this point, Mary has walked 3 miles after getting her arms chopped off,
thrown down a cliff, to climb up that cliff,
and walked 3 miles to get to I-5. That's just so crazy. Oh, the determination is bonkers. So this first sports car drives past Mary, but the second vehicle she spots is being driven by a husband and wife who were on their honeymoon. And they do stop.
Way to get their honeymoon fucked.
Thank God. Yeah. Oh, and apparently this couple was lost and looking for the interstate.
Whatever. Mary's like, no worries. I can show you the way.
I will show you.
I'll point it.
Yeah. And the newlywed couple helps Mary into the back of their old truck. And then they head to the nearest phone because, you know, there are no phones.
No cell phones.
The couple phones emergency services, and they get a rescue helicopter out to fly Mary to the hospital.
And she lives.
And she lives.
That's so impressive.
She does live. Oh, Lord. So, whenever Mary gets to the hospital, she learns that she has lost half of the blood in her body, and that the remaining blood in her body has reached, like, a super toxic level.
Yeah, because she's full of dirt and germs and bacteria.
Infection.
She's been rolling around the desert.
Yeah. But Mary, being the badass young lady she is, indeed survives. So, 10 days after this horrific attack, authorities identify and charge Mary's attacker. 10 days.
That's pretty quick.
Yeah.
Especially since she didn't, did she know his name?
No.
She didn't know his name, nothing, and she was able to, like, I guess they probably drew up a composite sketch.
Yeah, and I don't know exactly how they found him. Could not find how they found him. Maybe the van, maybe she knew the license plate.
Probably van and license plate is what I would imagine.
But no, they fucking found him. And he goes to trial, and Mary testifies at trial. She sits in the same room with this man and tells her story. As he's,
with
like,
no
sitting
arms.
10 feet away from her. Yeah.
And he's not convicted? And she's sitting there, no arms, being like, that man chopped off my fucking arms? This is bullshit.
I know. So, the man's name was Lawrence Bernard Singleton, and he was convicted of rape and attempted murder of Mary Vincent, and for some reason, he was only sentenced to 14 years for mutilating a child, sexually assaulting a child, and leaving her for dead. 14 years.
Yeah, like brutalizing that child.
Yeah. And apparently 14 years was the maximum for these crimes in California in 1978.
No fucking way.
Yeah.
This is bullshit.
Get it the fuck together, California. And like, I don't know. I feel like the statutes should have been different if the victim is a minor for like gross bodily harm. Like,
yeah, and
I don't
like,
understand where this...
And he raped her, so, like...
Yeah.
Like, there's people sitting in jail for drug convictions that have longer sentences than that.
Yep, there sure are. I don't understand. So, when Mary left the courtroom, she had to pass the guy again, and she was, like, super close to him, and he said to her, quote, "If it's the last thing I do, I will finish the job," end quote.
That's terrifying. She's still a child.
What the fuck is wrong with this man? I know.
14 years.
Yeah. 1 year so less probably, than she's been alive.
She's probably, like, thinking about his release date and, like, counting down the days for when she has to start fearing for her life again.
Exactly.
If she probably already fears for her life and is, like, terrified of strangers, too.
Yeah. He literally said, "I'm gonna kill you
one
day.
I'm gonna kill you. It won't be right now, but I'm gonna kill you."
Oh my god. Okay, so Miss Mary, she actually, I mean, she's gone on to have a beautiful life. She went on to get married to a man named Tom, and they had two sons together. They did get divorced eventually, mm-hmm. but, I mean, she's thriving.
Yeah. She got the kiddos, she got a happy life.
Yeah. And Lawrence Singleton got paroled in 1987.
Was that 8 years?
He served 8 years and 4 months for chopping off a 15-year-old's arms and throwing her off a 30-foot cliff and leaving her for dead.
Hmm. Justice.
Yeah. So he literally got a lesser sentence because she's a fighter and fucking lived.
Yeah, if she would have died, he would have been in there longer.
Yeah, he'd still be in jail.
But because she lived, she's being punished.
Exactly. So I don't understand why attempted murder is not the same as just murder.
Yeah.
You tried to kill them.
Yeah.
They lived. Why are you not getting the same sentence?
Yeah. If you could have been successful, you would have been.
Yeah. So I don't get that at all. And right before Singleton's parole ended, the prosecutor on the case said, quote, and this is crazy. He said, quote, "I think, if anything, he's worse now. He has not taken responsibility. He lives in a bizarre fantasy land and acquits himself each day. He doesn't accept his guilt and won't resolve never to do it again."
That's wild to me, because normally they don't release them early if they don't admit their guilt.
Yes.
Like, normally they keep them in there.
And they let him out early.
Yeah, even though he did not admit his guilt.
So, yeah. But this is not where the story ends.
He didn't kill her, right?
No.
Okay, that's good.
He did kill somebody, though.
Oh, I'm glad we released him early then.
Yeah.
He really deserved it.
Yeah, great job. So Singleton went back to Florida, which is where he was from, because he was literally, like, booed out of the state of California.
Oh, good.
Could not stay there. And in 1990, he was convicted of theft twice. Once for stealing a $10 disposable camera, for which he served 60 days.
Okay.
And one for stealing a $3 hat and served 2 years. So, like, that's funny, but he served a fourth of the time for stealing a $3 hat than for cutting off a child's arms.
I have no words. No words.
It's unbelievable.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, but good job, Florida, for getting him.
Yeah.
I guess.
Florida, if this crime would have happened in Florida, he would have gotten the electric chair.
Oh, with Mary?
Yeah.
Yes!
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So get this. It's February 19th of 1997. Lawrence Singleton was living in Florida, And he stabbed a 31-year-old mother of three named Roxanne Hayes to death.
For what?
We'll get to it. Oh, well, I mean, for what, we don't know. But we'll get to it. Roxanne. Yes. And for this, he was sentenced to death.
Good.
Yes.
It's about fucking time.
Yeah.
See, I told you, Florida would have had him.
I know. And in this trial for Roxanne's murder, Singleton claimed that they were struggling over a knife whenever Roxanne somehow accidentally stabbed herself.
Oh, did she now?
And she had 7 stab wounds to her face, chest, and stomach. So I don't think she accidentally fell on the knife.
No, not that many times.
No. And unfortunately, there isn't really a whole lot of information on Roxanne because she was a sex worker, but there is a great Tampa Bay Times article that I pulled some excerpts from to kind of shed some light on her life.
Okay.
So these are directly pulled from this article. I was going to try and paraphrase it, but like they did a great job and I was like, I'll just pull some things here. So this is all one big quote. Roxanne's life was not flattering. Hayes had been arrested dozens of times over the past 11 years. Most of the time, the charges, 99 in all, were for prostitution. Their words, not mine.
Okay.
Reporters interviewed Hayes's grieving fiancé and stunned children. They made an earnest effort to portray the fullness of Hayes's personality, that she was foremost a devoted mother. Over time, however, the enduring public image of Hayes has been of a prostitute. On the news, they say, Lawrence Singleton was in court for killing a prostitute, said Clifford Tyson, Hayes' longtime boyfriend. They don't say Mr. Crazy was in court or Mr. Monster was in court. She had a name, Roxanne Hayes. Why not? Lawrence Singleton was in court for killing Roxanne Hayes.
Yeah, that's what I was literally just about to say that. Why are we saying, oh, he killed a prostitute instead of just he killed a woman?
Yeah.
Or he killed a mother, because she was a mother, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Quote, I don't think my mom should have died, and I just don't understand why, end quote, Akina wrote in letters shortly after her mother's death. Quote, she was a good mom to me and my two brothers, and a good wife to my father. I wrote this to notify the public that my mom was not as bad as the newscast described her. She did what she had to do for us kids.
Yeah, they love vilifying a woman.
Yeah.
If, like, a man had done this same exact thing to provide for his kids, nothing would be said about it.
Yeah.
But because it's a woman, she's a bad mom.
Yeah, and that was all of the headlines.
And that's probably all, that's the reason she was doing what she did, so she could provide for her children.
Exactly. So, it goes on to say, the handful of middle-class trappings that her family enjoyed, Sunday services at a nearby Baptist church, for example, did not save the youngest of 5 children from the kind of childhood from which people find it difficult to recover. She was sexually abused by her grandfather, Tyson said. According to her grandmother, this abuse started whenever Roxanne was 2 years old. Everyone knew about it, but no one did anything.
It's like Eileen Wuornos.
I know. One of the nights, her grandfather was in the room with her. And he died, like, while he was...
doing that?
Assaulting her.
That's karma.
Yeah. Tyson said she was 6 or 7. This is very sad. So, her father was an abusive drunk, in Tyson's words, and continued to physically abuse her until she was 14, Tyson said. That year, her mother, a bartender, died, and Hayes left home for good. At 14.
All the men in her family are like this.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. She was taken in by family friends and managed to graduate from Hillsborough High School in 1984. From what Hayes later told Tyson, school, both academically and socially, was not an experience she wanted to prolong. Her sophomore yearbook photo shows a plump-cheeked young woman with a thick head of chestnut hair, but she was large, just over 6 feet tall and 380 pounds, Tyson said. This part almost made me cry. Quote, she always used to complain that she had no friends. She'd go to parties and no one would dance with her.
Aww.
I'm not gonna cry. I might cry.
That's so sad.
Okay. Tyson met Roxanne in 1988 on the end of East Hillsborough Avenue, where she was fast becoming a fixture. She asked me, can you give me a ride? I'm sleepy. Tyson said, "So I gave her a ride. She slept in my car. We talked. She talked about her daughter. Then I took her to my sister's house. She slept on the couch for a couple days, but from then on, things blossomed. They would have two sons together, Clifton in 1989 and Malachi in 1993. The boys were healthy, with no trace of drugs in their system, but the reminders of Hayes' life on the street were hard to miss. Roxanne was bright, and she was so witty, her friend and social worker said. She was wise, but she was more than just streetwise. One time, this friend..." Oh, wait, hold on. This is kind of fun. "One time, this friend gave Roxanne a Santa doll for Christmas, who said, 'Ho, ho, ho,' whenever you pressed the his hand or whatever. And Roxanne said, 'Are you calling me a ho?'" So above all, this friend valued Hayes's unflinching honesty about her life. Unlike some other women who had become adept at lying their way through the program, Hayes never denied that she was probably going to return to the street once she was released. In all the time she was arrested, Hayes never once used an alias or tried to disguise her identity with a bogus birth date. Quote, "Roxanne didn't really have any intentions of quitting," the friend said, "but that didn't make her a bad person," end quote.
No, she's doing this so that she can provide for her kids.
Yeah. So take away her criminal record and Hayes was indistinguishable from any other doting mother. She read to them at night, dressed them up in costumes with them on Halloween. She took them to the celebration station. If she promised one child a birthday at Chuck E. Cheese, she honored that promise, even if it meant returning to the street to pay for the treat. And she was also very supportive to all of her children. So sorry that this monster of a human being thought he had the right to take your life away from you. And she just didn't deserve that. And she really got no sort of recognition for herself.
No, because she was just known in the media as the prostitute, not mother of three.
Yeah. And I've heard the story of Mary Vincent several times.
Yeah, I've heard of that one. I have no idea that this is what happened afterwards.
Yeah. So it's really fucking sad.
Yeah, it's because Mary Vincent is a 15-year-old teenager, who ran away and was abducted, whereas because she was a prostitute, people are just going to assume that she was asking for it and she deserved it.
Exactly.
Because she was working in that line of work.
Yeah, and we all just need to do better.
Mm-hmm. Fuck people.
Yeah. Singleton was on death row, but was never executed because he died from cancer and from being a fuckbag on December 28th, 2001, at the age of 74, after serving, 2 years.
Yeah, he basically had no time in jail.
Yeah, and I hope it was very slow and very painful.
I hope so. I would have preferred for him to get his limbs chopped off.
An amputation of sorts.
Yes.
Would have been...
I wish that one of the victim's family could have just taken a machete and just went...
Yeah.
And then watched him bleed out.
Yeah.
And then tossed him off the side of a canyon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. That would have been just...
Mm-hmm. But a rusty machete, so that way it's not a clean, swipe. You have to do You have to hack it a couple times.
You gotta get in there.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly. And Mary Vincent has gone on to live a very inspiring life. She has two prosthetic arms and continued her love for tinkering with things and creating art, specifically with chalk pastels, and creates drawings depicting powerful women and women action figures.
Ooh.
And she actually makes her own prosthetics, which is super cool, to include one specifically made for bowling. Which I love.
That's cute.
So that is the story. I'm still trying not to cry, if you can hear that.
That's fucking annoying.
Yeah.
That's so irritating. I'm pissed off that they did not recognize her more in the media.
Yeah.
She's just a prostitute.
I know. And yeah, Mary, fucking badass. Roxanne, a wonderful mother.
Yeah. She literally, her children sang her praises.
Yeah.
That's what should be noted.
Exactly. So that's sad. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Poor Roxanne.
I know.
Oh, and Kendra wants to know where you got your pants.
Oh, they're from Vera Bradley.
Aww.
Yeah. And I also have the blankie. I'll show you the
blanket. There's a blanket?
Yes. And they have the regular size and the extra large. And I bought these and the extra large blankie.
I bet you Kendra's going to buy these.
They might still have them there. Oh, man.
I'm just saying, if he would have committed that Mary Vincent crime in Florida, he would have been dead.
Yeah. Or Texas.
Mm-hmm.
California really dropped the ball on that.
What's the other state that executes a lot of people? I think it's Utah or Montana.
Oh, I have no idea. You know that more than I would.
Oh, I think I wrote it down. Hold on.
Oh, okay.
I was Googling it the other day because I was curious.
Yeah, and we had to make our trivia questions.
Yeah, just so you know. It's Missouri.
Oh.
Missouri and Oklahoma.
Interesting. One of those Midwest
ones. Yeah, Texas has the most executions in the nation. They have more than the next four combined.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get you in Texas.
They'll fucking get your ass.
Remember Aaron Caffey?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all them?
The Sonic girl.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think the boyfriend and the friend, were they put on?
I thought they just got life, because weren't they?
Oh, because they were.
I think they were like 17. Yeah, I don't think they could get. Could
yeah. Do. They wanted to kill him.
Yeah.
They totally wanted to kill them.
They couldn't kill them.
Yep, legally. No.
Imagine killing somebody and then you cannot be killed.
Yeah.
Because it's illegal.
Yeah. I know. It's crazy.
Irony.
Hmm? No. I'm really not for the death penalty, per se, but, I mean, if we really know someone did it,
if then... you really know that they did it, and, like, they're, like, irrevocable proof that they fucking did it.
Yeah.
Yes. But yeah. There's people on death row for, like...
for things that they had nothing to do with.
That they did not do, or, like, things that you really should not have a conviction like that for.
Yeah. So, let's all do better. Can we all just collectively
stop killing each other?
And that.
Yeah. Stop being mean to prostitutes.
Yeah. Sex workers.
Sex workers. Sorry. Stop being mean to sex workers.
Yep. I know.
It's a job just like any other.
It is. It really is. Before you go.
Follow us on Instagram at #murderpod. Spell it all out.
And if you like this, give us 5 stars and leave us a review. And we also have a Patreon. Okay, I swear to God, I'm going to get that episode done. It should be out before this comes out. Holy shit.
For more Dusty Buns content, please follow us on Patreon.
Yeah, or Little Hash Browns. And I'm going to go eat the Salisbury steak and mashed potatoes and asparagus that my house husband made for me.
He's a good house husband.
I know.
Oh, and also, our 1-year anniversary is coming up.
It is.
In March. And to celebrate, we're doing trivia at the Brew Lab.
Oh my God.
It's the day before.
Shut up.
Yep.
Oh my God. That could not have been better timing.
Our anniversary is on March 21st and our Brew Lab date's on March 20th.
3-2-1.
3-2-1.
Wow. I didn't even notice that.
You timed it so good.
Look at me.
Did so
great. Look at us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Okay. Come see us at the Brew Lab. 3-2-1. No, 3-2-0.
Yes. Yes. 3-2-0. March 20th. Brew Lab. Downtown Charleston.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, thanks for hanging out.
Love you. Bye. I bet a prosthetic arm is real fucking cool.
Especially one for bowling.
I need a kickball one.
Bye, bye, bye.
Bye.
Be fun, have safe.
Be fun, have safe.
Thank you for listening to Hashtag Murder. Episodes are written and edited by Alex Lewis and Scarlett Hibden. Our intro and outro music is written and played by Derek Branton. Our cover art is by the lovely Lauren Walker. And our name was created by the most wonderful, supportive, and super hot boyfriend, Dustin Branton. We hope you've enjoyed your time with us. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or ideas, you can reach us at #murderpod@gmail.com. That's #hashtag murderpod@gmail.com. And don't forget to tell all of your friends about us. Thanks. Bye.
Hello.
Test. Okay.
Oh, God damn it. Hold on. Wait. Okay. So, blah, blah, blah.
Is this disgusting?